It's the Social Club, and we are live.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello, good evening, and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast. It's our social club show where we have a bit of a laugh, a bit of a joke, and talk about things from the wider world of football. Joining me to do that, as always, are the brilliant Simon Alavi. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. And of course, as always, and you can see he's even combed his hair after last week's comments, Dan De Luca is back. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, just fingers this time.
Maybe just fingers. It's all in the fingers. It's all in the fingers, man. It's all in the fingers.
Delighted to have you.
Oh, well, this is a PG show. I'm not getting into that. Delighted to have you both back. I've got to be honest. Look, this tonight's pod is a blag. It is actually a blag because it's been one of those days. So it is a bit of a blag. But on the show, we're going to be touching, first of all, on the reports that Arsenal are prepared to sell Lucas Torreira this summer in order to raise some cash. So we'll talk about that. Then we're going to talk about the referee who's been charged with improper conduct after he squared up to a player in a game last night. And of course, we'll touch a little bit on the relegation dogfight down at the bottom, if you even want to call it a dogfight. And then we'll be looking back at last week's predictions and talking you through some of this week's. And we'll reveal the results from last week. And then I think you guys in the chat will be absolutely thrilled by them. Let's start off by talking about Lucas Torreira, because it's been reported by Fabrizio Romano, who was on the show a few weeks back now, I think. Normally pretty reliable when it comes to transfers, that Arsenal are looking to cash in on the Uruguayan. And to be honest, I'm not surprised. You know, a lot of Arsenal fans will be disappointed to hear that news. But ultimately, if you send somebody out on loan, it kind of indicates, doesn't it? I'll come to you first, Dan. If somebody gets sent out on loan, didn't get much game time when they were here, I mean, why are people surprised? It was always going that way, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, if a senior player goes out on loan, that's the last you see of that player more often than not. We're not talking about a youngster going to get experience. This is a guy who came over from Serie A off the back of a good World Cup. It felt like a really good signing at the time. And the first 3 or 4 months, he started off pretty well. Some people got slightly excited by that, which is understandable. And then his performances started to tail off. And what we saw with Lucas Torreira, I feel, and I'm not saying this is a standard thing, but he's a guy that didn't seem to be physically tall enough or strong enough to cope with the demands of the Premier League. Now, there are some players who can in that position. Kante is one of similar sort of stature. But I think in his case, in the end, when the going got tough, he got out-muscled. Arteta didn't fancy him. And since then, he's brought in a better defensive midfielder in Thomas Partey. So it's a weak area of the field, and Arteta has not wanted to use him. I think the writing was on the wall. And at the end of the day, whatever the money, he didn't pay an awful lot for him from memory.
It was around about 20, 25 million from what I remember.
He's younger than you probably think, though. I thought he was older, but I think he's only about 24, 25.
You think of like the Uruguayan team as all really seasoned pros in their like late 20s, early 30s. But, you know, he seemed to be a reasonable footballer, but it hasn't worked out for him. And the fact is, even a fit Torreira right now, a playing well Torreira at his best, he's still behind Thomas Partey in a pecking order. He's still behind Granit Xhaka, I'd argue, in a pecking order. So there's not a lot of game time for him at Arsenal anyway. So I think if you can get money for a squad player, which is what he is now, and bring someone else in, it feels like a no-brainer to me, if I'm honest, for player and club.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and it's a real shame. It's a real shame, because when we did sign him, there was a lot of hype around it. And of course, we signed him, and then there was an international tournament. The World Cup was literally had taken place just before I think we completed that deal. And everybody was looking at him and going, wow, this guy is a real, real player and someone we could really, you know, see the best of in an Arsenal shirt, the kind of tenacious defensive midfielder that Arsenal haven't had for years. But a lot of it with Lucas Torreira has been down to the fact that he just never settled in London. And Alavi, do we sometimes forget that these guys are human beings and that if they're not happy in their personal life, then it's understandable as to why their performances at times may not be quite where they need to be?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's negated by the fact that he's gone to Atletico Madrid and Simeone's not given him that much game time. They're doing really well. Edu, I think, has admitted that he's quite, you know, quite concerned about the lack of action. And obviously that's a, you know, a concern, a consternation for him that a team that's doing so well in La Liga and Torreira, a player who, on the face of it, and I know managers shouldn't like players who remind them of themselves, but on the face of it, you'd think that Simeone would actually quite like Torreira, right? You know, that sort of player. So the fact that he hasn't got that much game time would really worry. And it's like Didier was saying, you send someone on loan anywhere below the age of, say, 28, 29, if they're not getting game time, you're concerned because that's why you've sent that loan. That means more than one manager has felt that you haven't performed to a certain standard. And there's, you know, okay, so you don't settle in London, but he should settle where he is now, surely. And I think people forget with Arsenal, they have borrowed a lot of money. I don't know how much the figure is, but I think it's over 100 million from the Bank of England. So they've borrowed a lot of money this season that they have to pay back. I don't think it's just him. I think it's Guendouzi. I think Lacazette. I think Luiz could be on his way out. And although you would, on the face of it, if you take it on a standalone player, say it's the right decision, then I agree. What I would always think with Arsenal is it the start of something else? Is it the start of the exodus of four or five players who are either at the club on loan with no replacements? Because what happens when Thomas Partey does get injured? What happens if Granit Xhaka decides to go? That's the thing with Arsenal. Will there be a replacement? Are they going to get, I don't know, do they cut him off the wage bill and go and get, I don't know, you like Serie A, Diawara, similar type-ish player, right, from Roma? Someone like him.
I mean, the talk is that Arsenal are keen on bringing Dani Ceballos to the club permanently. So could this be...
Different sort of player, though.
Could this be... Yeah, different sort of player, agreed. But, you know, financially, it would make sense, wouldn't it? If Real Madrid are, as we're led to believe, looking for 20, 25 million pounds or euros for Dani Ceballos, and Arsenal can raise the majority of that from Lucas Torreira's sale, then the Luca, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
I think... What makes perfect sense? I don't think it necessarily makes sense to keep Ceballos at the club. I am, if I'm honest. No. But it makes sense to get some money in and spend it on someone else, because Torreira isn't first choice. He isn't second choice. He isn't going to play. And I go as far as to say, because we you know, it's easy to forget, because there's been a few good results and performances recently. Arsenal are having a poor season. They had a poor season last season as well. It's easy to forget those things because of the FA Cup win. Do I look at Torreira and say, well, if he was in that squad, it would have been any different? I don't really feel that. So I think it's an absolute no-brainer just to get him out of the club, bring some money in that can be invested somewhere. You know, there are holes to fill in the first 11, you know, and yep. 15 to 20 million, which you'll fetch for him still. You know, there'll be an Italian club will pay that, I'm sure, a Spanish club as well. Get the money in. Ceballos is a slightly different debate. For similar reasons, I think he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. But again, during this period of time, which has been turbulent for Arsenal, he's not pulled up any trees. Now, there's an argument that says, well, he's not had stability next to him. He needs a proper ball winner so he can play the expansive football. Emery shackled him a little bit, so he's only really had a little bit of time under Arteta and all that sort of stuff. But I think if I'm buying a player from Real Madrid, I kind of want that player to carry me through these tough times. And I just wonder again, if funds are as tight at Arsenal as they appear to be, like Alavi said, and Arsenal aren't the only club who have made a bank of borrowed money in this time, and no one knows what budget that money is borrowed to cover. So the transfer budget may not be what it's used for. There may be a transfer budget separate, but 25 million at this time is a lot of money. And I think, you know, I'd be looking at Ceballos' performances as well over 18 months and say, could we do better with that money? I don't know the answer to that, but I just feel the position Arsenal are in at the minute, if they want to go from the place where they are at the minute, which is outside the top six, struggling to get back into a position where they can challenge. And there's a launch pad there. There's a couple of good young players coming through. There's still a few season pros at the club. But actually, is Ceballos going to help them make that next step or not? And I'm not sure, if I'm honest.
Isn't it amazing, though, Harry, how DDL mentioned this about Foden yesterday. Last week, right? Obviously, he's gone and scored tonight. But isn't it amazing how... it was a good deflection. Yeah, great deflection. He meant it. But isn't it amazing how, you know, you tell me you're an Arsenal fan. A year or two ago, he looked indispensable. I think he won Player of the Month a couple of times. I think he played well against the top sides. He was one of the first names of the team sheet. I think he played slightly deeper than Granit Xhaka. I think, you know, he was one of Arsenal's best players. You had former players Vieira, Keown, all praising him. And he's gone from sort of a midfield supremo, first name of the team sheet, someone who embodied the spirit of Arsenal, someone who they were missing, to actually, he's a bit of a misfit now. Can we get 40 million for him and, I don't know, Elneny and Guendouzi, or you know, all together? It's things change very quickly. Sorry, you're going to ask another question.
Are you talking about Torreira or Ceballos there?
Torreira.
Yeah.
Ceballos, as you know, I'll probably hold my hand. I got that wrong. I still think there's potential. I thought he was better than he was, but maybe that's because the La Liga suited him. I'm not using that as an excuse, but Torreira.
I mean, talking about the two of them, I think you guys make perfect sense when you say that probably should move Lucas Torreira on for the reasons I've said as well. You know, he's not first choice. And at a time like this where the funds are very hard to come by, do you want to hold on to someone that you could potentially fetch 15, 20 million for? If you don't see him as first team anyway, Torreira's performances have been up and down throughout his Arsenal career. And coming on to Danny Ceballos, we talked about it on a stream earlier on. Danny Ceballos is a good squad player. I like the guy. I think sometimes he performs really well. I thought he performed really well against Leeds the other day. But there are weeks when he just doesn't show up. And the problem here is that if Arsenal spending 20, 25 million euros on Danny Ceballos means that they can't go and get somebody else, somebody that Mikel Arteta prefers, somebody that Mikel Arteta would see as a competitor for Partey and Xhaka, not someone who just comes in when one of them's unavailable, then you don't do it. And I'm a little bit unsure on this one. Look, I think Arsenal's transfer business is going to be very much dependent on how the season finishes without European qualification, whether that's Europa League or Champions League. I think Arsenal will have a problem financially. And I think the club right now are going through a massive cost-cutting exercise. And I think that is happening because of the pandemic, because they want to rebuild the team and bring in new players. I just don't know if holding on to Torreira and keeping Ceballos, it makes enough sense for me. But time will tell on that. And we'll come back to that a little bit later on in the season, of course, when we get a better picture of where Arsenal are going to be and what's happening with the futures of Torreira and Ceballos. Let's say a big hello to everybody in the live chat at the moment. Hope you're all well. Lots of comments. Keep them coming. Get your questions in as well. We love to hear from you. And just a quick reminder that this podcast is part of the 90 Minute Football Network and is sponsored by manscaped.com. So if you want to look as fresh as DeLuca this evening, then head over to manscaped.com. Use the discount code 90min20. You get 20% off and free shipping. So head over to manscaped.com if you want to look as fresh as Dan DeLuca. He's looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
Did I do eyebrows as well?
Yeah. You can use it wherever you want. let's talk about events last night. An extraordinary event. A referee literally went and squared up with a football player. Now, I didn't think I'd ever see the day. I never thought that referees had it in them, but this one did. And
we've seen it abroad, to be fair. It's just the first time I can remember it happening here.
I can't even remember it happening abroad.
There's always clips in South America.
Kalina, Pierluigi Kalina used to get up close and personal.
Yeah,
he's not even a referee, is he, Kalina? He's just a legend. This different, like, you know, those pedantic, sad referees that clearly used to get bullied and now, you know, they're on a power trip. Colina's wasn't one of them. So I put him in like a different category. But basically, for those of you who haven't seen it, referee Darren Drysdale has been charged by the FA with improper conduct after he squared up to Ipswich Town's Alan Judge during the game between Ipswich and Northampton Town. Crazy. It was crazy. But DeLuca, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, as much as it's a good bit of banter, a good thing to kind of look back on and have a bit of a laugh about, actually, if referees were a little bit tougher, maybe they wouldn't get bullied into making poor decisions and treated the way they do. Do I have a point here, or is it just never acceptable for a ref to act that way?
I think we've got very little context here whatsoever, apart from we've seen the incident. We don't know why. But I kind of feel like I'm with you in the sense that why can't the referee give it back? You know, why can't he give it back? Well, why shouldn't he be allowed to? So the counter argument from Paul Lambert, which is a fair enough point, is, well, if his player did it to the ref, he'd be banned.
Sent off, yeah.
Well, actually, like, you know, if my mum clipped me around the ear and I clipped my mum back, there's different punishments for that. You know, the referee, there's no respect for officials in the game. You could argue that some officials don't deserve it, but that's from a fan sitting and watching decisions. But actually, I do make a lot of comparisons with rugby as a sport. And quite frankly, the referee is in charge. The referee is the boss. That's accepted in rugby. So the referee in rugby wouldn't even have to behave that way. You know, I don't know what's happened, what's been said, what's triggered the ref off. It's an unusual reaction, so we're all shocked by it. But actually, is it that big a deal? Really? You know, it's not as if he's grabbed him by the throat or pushed him back. At the end of the day, he's imposing his authority on a situation in a slightly more aggressive way than we used to. It'd be interesting to see what comes of it. I kind of feel that the referee is gonna receive a lengthy ban, and we might not see too much more of it in the future.
I think he's still officiating this weekend, from what I read. I think there's gonna be a ban, but I do think he is officiating. I think he's been charged, but I think he's still possibly officiating this weekend. He's definitely been charged. But yeah.
You know, he has I think he has issued a half-assed apology as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
So he's obviously acknowledging that he went overboard. But like, yeah. I say, when we're talking about, it's a different situation, but when we're talking about fouls and red cards and players getting sent off, and sometimes you think I'm too lenient, when you break it down, what has actually happened? Nothing. The referee's a bit upset about something that's happened, and he's made his feelings known to the player. Is it that big a deal? You know, I think we should just brush it under the carpet and move on. And
but it'll be a meme forever, and that's what matters.
The referee is a relatively top referee. I think he was assistant referee in the FA Cup final about... Oh, it's probably the only one Arsenal didn't win without a referee being involved, actually. I think it was 2000, yeah. Chelsea Villa he was involved. But what I would say 2000. Is that I think what I'm trying to say is I think he's a very very experienced, long-standing referee. I'm pretty sure he's been involved for quite some time. But what I would say is I think a referee, and whether it's a referee, a supporter, a manager, I think you should all be held accountable to the same punishment. So if the referee goes right and headbutts a player, which he didn't, but if he literally headbutts him, the referee gets effectively sent off and replaced and by the assistant referee that they have, right? They always have an assistant referee. Haven't you seen? You must have. I don't know if you've seen any, it probably doesn't happen in the Premier League, but as I watch like lower league a lot more, you do get like referees and linesmen who like pull up half time with like a hamstring injury, and someone will, there'll be an assistant referee coming on. And then, no joke, they will actually ask the crowd if there is qualified. Yeah, this is no joke because I've heard it. They will ask the crowd if there's someone qualified to step up and be the assistant referee in a game. And I've been to games where that's.
I've been in the stadium when that's happened. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I'm guessing not at like a higher level, but you should all have the same punishment. So if he is gone, he should essentially be punished as a player would be punished for that act. And what I would say, and it's funny because I was having this conversation a few days ago with a friend of mine, and we were talking about the I think it was the Adebayor incident, but there have been others. But I say the Adebayor one because it's more sort of pertinent and relevant to the show is, if you are getting abused, right, for 90 minutes, I'm not saying it was racial or whatever, but he was abused by Arsenal fans for 90 minutes, right, okay, in that game. If you then run the length of the pitch and celebrate and you incite, good for him. You should not have to, just because you're a player, you should not have to just take abuse about whatever it is, your family, or and just be like, well, I'm a player, I'm not allowed to react back to the crowd. Or the Cantona thing, okay, he went too far. That's violent. But these guys
there's
are
a line.
Human.
There's so a line. There's a line.
There is, yeah, and that's the line, I think. And Adebayor didn't cross it, and Cantona literally crossed it with his
but for me, Laddie, the line is painted white for me. The line is painted white. So if the referee in the tunnel after the game put his head in, then I'd have an issue with it. But I think the lines of the pitch. I think on the pitch. So if Adebayor...
But why is it fans can do what they want to players and it's completely okay, and players can do what they want to referees and it's completely okay, and there's this domino effect. Eventually, at the end of the day, Dan, a human is a human. Like, we all work in organisations.
Everyone's got a limit.
Eventually, you don't treat the cleaner like rubbish because they will snap and punch you in the face one day.
Yeah, I get that. But I think there's a difference between the two things. So I think a referee and a player... I think that's fine, like to a degree. The fans are a bit different. I think fans are not paid to be there. They're not professionals. I don't agree when players insult fans. I don't like.
What was wrong with what Dyer did? What was wrong with what Dyer did when he went to the crowd?
Because he left the pitch and went into the crowd. Like,
but if you were him, you've got a bit of a, you know, you're an Italian. You know, you've got a, you know, you're a bit of a, you can lose it once or twice a year. What, you would take it?
He loses it every time Spurs lose. What are you talking about?
I'd have had a couple of fellas waiting at the gate.
This is what I mean. Like, so you can't expect these people to not be human, right?
I think giving a bit back on the pitch is fine. When players start giving out on social media and...
That's different.
I don't like that. So I think for me, there's a line. So where do you think the line is?
Hold on. So hold on. So what you're saying, Alavi, is that it's fine for Eric Dyer to step off of the pitch, climb up into the stand, and go up in the stands looking for a fan. You think that's okay?
What I will quote Jose Mourinho is, I don't think it's okay, but I can understand the reason he did it, because he is a human and a lot of us would do the same thing. That's word for word.
Yeah, but is that...
But I think, again, what we're doing, it's the same. We have the same debate with penalties, red cards. I say the same thing always. Forget the emotion of the situation and what may have happened.
What has he done? Yeah.
What has actually happened? So in Adebayor's case, what has he actually done? Not a lot.
Yeah.
In Dyer's case, what has he actually done? Nothing. He climbed over a few seats, had a chat with someone. Nothing's happened.
Gave it a big one and then back
Cantona,
down.
Yeah, exactly.
Cantona stud someone in the face.
He's crossed the line. Yeah.
That's a bit different.
I think it's amazing that one steward stopped 2,000 Arsenal fans getting to Adebayor. Amazing, really. They're all like, hold me back. Like, one steward. Because if they got...
Where did you learn to count?
They would have shat themselves.
Where did you learn to count?
Okay. All right, yeah. A lot of them would have had a good go against Adebayor, wouldn't they?
I'll tell you something. If Adebayor had done that against Olympiacos in a packed stadium...
Yeah, that's different.
He'd be dead. He'd be dead.
That's different.
No, the point is that... Adebayor's done that because he knows that he can get away with it here. He knows that there are stewards here that will protect him. And I'm not even saying any Arsenal fans tried to get there and get him.
Were you really, really, really annoyed at him for doing it? Like, can you not understand? If you take yourself away from being Arsenal, you can't understand as a human, you would have done the same thing.
I can understand it. But I think, as DDL said, you are a professional. And just like this referee is going to get charged with improper conduct because he's we don't know what that guy said to him. He could have said anything to him. But because he's a professional, he will be held accountable for his actions. And Adebayor is a professional and shouldn't have done something that clearly incited the crowd. You know, if Adebayor scores at that end, and runs and celebrates in the corner, I've got no issue with it. The fact he's turned around and run the whole length of the pitch, that's a deliberate act to wind people up.
And I think that's the other side of the argument.
Yeah, and when he does that in a stadium where someone's going to get part, where in a country where the security isn't as tight, because that is the case. You know, I was last February, I was in Olympiacos, I was in Athens for the game against Arsenal, And we couldn't get out of the stadium for an hour and a half after the game because they were waiting for us outside and they were throwing bottles at the net that were separating us from the home fans. They were throwing drinks at us. We were getting showered by drinks that were landing on top of the roof. There was fireworks going on outside because they were waiting to fire them at us. If you do that in certain places, you get your head kicked in. And so just don't do it. Just don't allow that shit to happen.
Sometimes people never really understand the rule as to why it's in place. So people kick off sometimes because a player jumps into the crowd, right, and celebrates with the fans, and they go, and they get a yellow card, and they go, you know, this is typical modern football. A player can't jump into the crowd and celebrate, and the crowd all like, you know, 10,000 people just bomb forward. So yeah, but if you're holding your 3-year-old son and your three rows in the front, do you know what I mean? There is always a counter side to it if that person gets crushed. So there is sometimes reasons, and Harry said the word insight crowd. I think there is sometimes a reason as to why shirt taking off, jumping in the crowd, celebrating in front of opposition. There is a reason as to why every that scenario, is in place.
Every scenario has a line, and that line, you need to treat each incident on merit and decide what that line is. So Omri celebrated a goal against Spurs once where he ran towards the Spurs end, slid on his knees, but he stopped at a point that was just about acceptable.
Only Henri could
as a Spurs fan, you sit there and you're saying, oh, you're a cunt, you know, whatever. But actually, he didn't cross the line, in my view,
literally,
of what he did, which is what is a bit of banter. In Adebayor's case, he's clearly crossed the line. I remember where I was watching it, and I watched that in Thailand, and it was a messy evening. But my issue with the Adebayor incident is actually, there are some people in that end who had paid his wages for 4 or 5 years. So there's a lack of respect there. While singing
songs about him and his family throughout the game.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. The fact is...
You know, what does that matter? No.
He can give back the hundreds of thousands of pounds that he earned from Arsenal then, if he's that upset.
And actually, the people who were singing songs about his family sung them why? Because he forced the move. Then you get in this pathetic, he started it, she started it thing. There is a
line. He didn't go to Spurs. He went to, like, Man City. You know.
He went to Spurs after, and they could have kept him. But it's not the point. There is a line, and you have to decide what that line is. So back to the case of the referee.
I think we all agree the referee thing's been blown out of proportion.
But... yeah, what has he actually done? You know, we don't know what's come first, what's driven him to it. In the 90th minute of a long, long match, he's probably bored shitless watching a terrible standard of football.
But then going back to Harry's point, which is, I think, the most valid at the top, is... we all remember the image when those three Man United players are surrounding the ref and he's taking steps back. Do you remember it? I think it's Keane Neville. Correct.
Andy.
Yeah.
Well, that they did that under Fergie every single game, at least five times. So, it's plenty of images.
But that's the most iconic image, right? Yeah. So does it then stop the odd thing like that, which is bad for the game, which doesn't happen in rugby, which ironically is played by people five times the size and the referees aren't even that big.
it's a lack of respect. There is a lack of respect in football, and it's the reason why certain rules are so difficult to enforce.
Me and Dan went to the same school, right? And we had to call our referee, sir.
Yeah, and he was, you know, the worst one. He was a shambles of a referee. This referee,
and
right,
you had to call him sir.
You'd been from the
yeah, but you the you two with all...
yellow cards, and it's like.
Yeah.
With all due respect, you two were bods.
Because I was too cold for not going on the pitch. It was cold.
Anyway. going back to what I was saying before, I mean...
bods, I haven't heard that word for that.
Well, you are. You created a spreadsheet for our predictions league within about 5 minutes of me telling you about it.
I have a voice note saying, can you create a spreadsheet?
Yeah, I didn't think it would be done by the time I came back from making my coffee.
Which was after work hours, man.
But I mean, does a referee being a little bit tougher, a little bit harder like that, does it make a difference? Will it stop players?
No, because he's got punished. That's the problem. Like, because his hands have got swept under the carpet, has it? So it's actually probably put the odd referee off. It all then depends on the punishment, doesn't it? You don't commit, you know, where my dad's from, you don't commit certain crimes because you're going to lose your arm. Yeah, so the crime, the punishment is not going to be befitting of a crime. So he's probably now going to, you know, be vindicated. He's probably not going to referee for a certain amount of time after they've decided his exact punishment. If anything, it's probably made them, put them in a worse light.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I don't know. We'll see.
Guys, let's see what you guys are saying in the chat. Should the referee, Darren Drysdale, have been charged with improper conduct after
he
that? Should he have been? Been charged? Should they just sweep the whole incident under the carpet? After all, as DeLuca said, not that much happened. Let us know what you think in the live chat. And of course, quick reminder, if you haven't already, make sure you smash the like button. In fact, let's see how many likes we've got so far, because there are over 100 of you watching right now on YouTube alone. So surely we should have at least 50, 60 likes. Let's see where we're at now. We've only got 22. So smash the like button. It doesn't cost a bloody penny. Hit the like button. And if you're interested in becoming a member of the channel to get access to our exclusive content, which is going to be dropping a little bit later this week because of obviously this huge game against Benfica, which is coming up tomorrow night. So keep tuned into the channel for that, because tomorrow I'm going to be bringing you a lineup and prediction stream at midday around about 12:30. And then we'll be bringing you a live watch along of the game, followed by a post-match podcast. So three bits of content coming your way tomorrow as we cover this huge, huge game for the Arsenal. If you want to become a member, if you're interested in supporting the channel, then click the link in the description and you can sign up to either of our three tiers of membership, which are all available at different prices and come with different perks and different benefits. Right. We spent way longer on the referee thing than I planned, but it was good. It was a good debate, good conversation about the lack of respect between fans and players and referees and fans and all of that. So let's move on to our prediction segment. Because Alavi has got some results for us from last week's predictions. Now, the three of us put our predictions in. It was 1 point for a correct result, 3 points for the correct score, and you could pick a gem result, which was one that you thought stuck out. And if you got that one right, whether it was the result or the correct score, you got double points on that one. So Alavi is going to let us know how we did, who's top, how did you guys do as the fans? And then we're going to quickly run through some of our predictions for the games coming up this weekend. And we're going to get your predictions on those as well, so we can chuck them into the mix again, so we can continue with our listener score. So Alavi, how did it go?
Yeah, so in bottom place, obviously, is the host of the show, Harry Simeon, with 6 points. It was the lack of perfect score, really. He did get his gem doubled for the Villa game. Went for a draw. Unfortunately, it was 1-1 that you went for, and the game ended 0-0, didn't it? So 6 points for Harry, 7 for DDL. Unlucky in many respects. His gem was the only person to not pick Everton to win. He was correct they didn't win, but you don't get anything because they actually ended up losing. He did pick a Newcastle perfect score. Very ironic that his mate Timo Werner helped him. He's on 7 points.
He tried his best to miss that as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Tried so hard to miss.
I'm only one ahead with 8 points. The main reason for that is the Wolves 1-2-1, which was my prediction, and the perfect score. No one else, for some reason, fancied a Wolves win. I said to you guys in the chat earlier this week that I just think Southampton are cursed at the moment. If, you know, if their opposition player picked it up in the middle of a box and just threw it in the net, I don't think it would be given as a handball against them. So I fancied 2-1 there. Fancied Everton to win and didn't get there. Everyone got West Brom wrong. Of course, everyone got Man United, West Brom wrong. Everyone got Spurs, City right. But the fans have just killed us. They've got 12 points. They got 2 perfect scores, which were their perfect scores were City to win 3-0, and also I'll try and remember the other one, but we've got 2 perfect scores.
Leicester.
And no. Sorry. So they got their gem, Leicester, right, but they didn't go for they didn't get the perfect score. So they doubled their Leicester prediction. Oh, and they got the Newcastle game perfect score. So they've got 2 perfect scores and the gem Leicester doubles. So they're in the lead with 12 points. So they've done very well there. Like DDL said to me just before we went there, it's, you know, it can all change. If you get a gem and a perfect score, you've got 6 points. And I mean, Harry's on 6 points as it is. So
the summary of that is we're all losing to the listeners.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I quite like it because I like being bottom at the moment. It gives me something to chase, something to focus on.
But it's only 1 point, 1 point behind DDL, you know, not bad.
Yeah, exactly.
We're meant to be an expert panel.
Well, no, you two are self-proclaimed geniuses, so I'm delighted to be at least in the running with you.
Harry, when we go through the games for this week, can we get the fans to say whether they think after tonight Fulham have a chance of surviving or not, just on a little side chat thing?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they're playing Sheffield United. That's the reason I ask. And obviously, we know what position Sheffield United are in, but they're sort of they're 6 points now ahead of they're only 6 points now for relegation. They've only conceded 13 in their last 14 or something. They only lost four games.
They just don't win games for them. They draw too much.
But what I'm saying is, I just don't think that a few weeks ago it was a foregone conclusion. You look at the table now. When you had a little look at it, you were a bit surprised it was closer than you thought. So it would be interesting if our fans think that relegation, whether it's done or not, basically, or whether Fulham, probably the only side really that can get out of it. But yeah, we'll go through this week if you want.
Cool. Let's go through this week's games, and we're going to ask you for your predictions as well. Now, you'll notice that mine are empty. Hold on a second. What have I done here? There you go. You'll notice that mine are empty because I haven't had a chance to do them. So I'm going to do them on air right now on the screen for you guys. So, Alavi, can you make note of these or shall I make note of these?
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah, just write them down in the order. They'll be in the same order.
Yeah.
So let's have a look at what Alavi's picked out as his gem. We're only going to discuss, I'll do my predictions, then we'll discuss the gems only, get the listeners' thoughts on them, and then we'll quickly touch on that relegation thing. So Wolverhampton Wanderers versus Leeds United. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Leeds win. So 0-2. Wow.
You love Leeds. You absolutely love Leeds.
I do. Well, I love Marcelo Bielsa. Yeah. I love Marcelo Bielsa.
4-2, yeah.
Right, listeners, while I'm doing these, no, actually, we'll come to you guys in a minute because it'll get confusing in the chat, I think. Southampton 0, Chelsea 2.
DDL, you could have picked that as your gem there. Gone for a draw.
He's decided not. We'll come on to that in a minute. Let's just quickly get through this.
Yeah, go on.
Burnley 1, West Brom 0.
Yep.
Liverpool 3, Everton 1.
Goals galore.
Harry loves a 3-1.
Fulham 1, Sheffield United 1. West Ham 0, Spurs 0.
Yeah.
I think Spurs will lose that. I just couldn't bring myself to write it.
Villa 1, Leicester City 2.
Yeah.
Arsenal 1, Manchester City 3.
He loves a 3-1.
Manchester United 2, Newcastle 0.
Yeah.
Brighton 1, Palace 1. And you've got Leeds playing twice.
Yeah, that's because in the game week, they're now playing on Tuesday.
Okay. So. All right. On that one, we'll go for a 1-1.
Cool.
Okay. Right. Let's get the listeners' predictions as well while we're here. So, listeners, Wolverhampton Wanderers versus Leeds, get your predictions in. We're going to nominate someone this week to do it. We did it with Topher last week. Who's in the chat? Let's pick Jashar. Right, Jashar Josiah. You're going to... Graham's not in there, mate. Jashar, you're going to take the... Whatever Jashar says goes. So, guys, put your things in and Jashar will
pick. Thank you, Mrs. Beercroft.
Jashar will pick from the average, I guess, or actually everybody put them in. And Jashar, just have a look and see what you think as well, and we'll pick
pressure
out.
Pressure though after last week, isn't it?
Yeah, there's massive pressure. Can see most people going for a Leeds win.
Cool. Should we talk about our gems while they go through that?
No, because we're going to have to fill in the next game as well. All right, I can see Leeds 3-1, Leeds 2-1. There's two Leeds 3-1s. There's let's go 3-1 Leeds.
Really? What, Leeds to win?
Yeah, because that's what I think two of them have picked that. Some have picked the Leeds win.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
And so that's the most common score. Jashar's gone with a 2-2, though, but I think, hold on, have we got enough the draws? We've got three draws. So do we go with a draw? Jashar, whatever you say goes, mate. Jashar's picking today. 2-2. Go with a 2-2, Alavi. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's just easier to do it this way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Southampton versus Chelsea. Jashar, what you got for us, mate? And then give us Burnley versus West Brom as well. I need to find a quicker way of doing this. This is terrible. So all over the place. Come on, Jashar, mate. I know you got the typing skills.
DDL, do you think Fulham survive whilst doing it?
No.
Really? Okay.
No, yeah. I don't. I just think they're the people in the trapdoor now are Newcastle, aren't they? Just hopping above.
Yeah,
Newcastle are the type of team that pull a result out of their arse when they're not supposed to. And that's what will happen ultimately.
Jashar's gone Southampton 0, Chelsea 3.
Okay.
So, guys, you guys put your comments in and Jashar can use those to come up with the answer. That's absolutely fine. But if you're all giving different answers, which one do we go with if we don't pick someone?
It's got to be Jashar.
Jashar's the skipper of the night, surely.
Yeah. Thomas Tuchel is my favourite manager, perhaps of all time. The guy's just unreal. I love him.
Jashar, what have you got for us on Burnley versus West Brom? And then give us Liverpool Everton as well.
So, yeah, while the guys are doing that, I just think, like, if you look at the bottom three now, Sheffield United just aren't going to make it. West Brom, the Sam Allardyce bounce hasn't happened, so they're gone.
No.
So Fulham have got to catch Newcastle, which is only 6 points.
That's what I mean. Right. And you think Newcastle are playing Man United this weekend, right? And Fulham go and beat Sheffield United, that it goes down to 3 points. Now, have they not got to play each other this season as well?
Yeah.
Fulham and Newcastle?
Yeah.
They must do.
Yeah, but we can't assume that Newcastle are going to get no points. So even if Fulham claw those 6 points back quickly and they're level, Newcastle are just the type of side for me that pull a result out from somewhere that you're not expecting.
I'm pretty sure Fulham Newcastle's like end of May or something as well. Could be huge.
We've got our Burnley West Brom 2-0 to Burnley.
Yeah, fair enough. That's the thing that the listeners did well in last week. They went Burnley to beat Palace, and we all went either Palace win or draw.
Let's get the.
That was a surprising result, actually.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Let's get the Liverpool Everton one. Well. Jashar's gone Liverpool Everton 2-1. Come on, guys. Let's move through this a little bit quicker. Jashar, Fulham versus Sheffield United. Go for it, mate. And then give us... you know what? Let Jashar go through the games. He can see them on the screen. Just go through the games and put them in. We'll continue our chat so that we're not all waiting around. And then we'll pick them out from the chat. So, Alavi, can you see the chat as well?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I don't keep stopping the conversation and saying it. Just keep an eye on what Jashar's going with. Cool. In there, and that way we can get through it and continue a conversation. Go back to what DeLuca was saying. You feel like Fulham are doomed, do you?
Yeah, I just think, you know, six points, they're on a run of form now that's not going to last forever. So they're picking up points just to get within 6 points. You know, it's still a big ask for them. You know, you don't get many great escapes, and that's what it would be for Fulham. Newcastle will pick up a couple of wins somewhere. There's no doubt about that. They always do, and they've still got, you know, with Callum Wilson back, they've still got a goal scorer there. And I just think it's a big ask. And again, I think Brighton, who I tipped before the season to potentially go down this year, which is a pretty reasonable prediction if you look at their results, but I still think they're playing well enough, particularly recently. But it just goes to show what I'm talking about with Fulham. You look at Brighton, they beat Tottenham and Liverpool in the space of 4 days. You suddenly expect them to start winning the lesser games. They follow that up with a couple of draws. So, you know, the form that these teams go on at the bottom doesn't last forever. And I just still don't think Fulham have got enough, personally, to get out of the mess they made at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, me too. Guys, Jashar, when you're putting the predictions in, mate, just put the team name so it's easier for Alavi as well to know. what game it's referring to, because I can see him scrolling through his screen to try and find them. So just put the name of the game as well in there, so it's easier. So we've got Liverpool 2, Everton 1, and then that'll be Fulham, Sheffield United, I'm assuming, where he's gone 2-1. So yeah, just put the just put the team names in there as well. It just makes it easier for us to pick it out of the chat. Yeah, I agree on the whole Fulham thing. I don't think that they're going to survive either. And I've seen them play on a number of occasions. I think I've covered them twice on the VSIN Betcast this season. And you just look at them and they're a little bit toothless. You know, they threaten to do things. They show a little bit of quality kind of in the second third, but when it gets to the final third, they're just lacking that something, aren't they? They're just missing something. And I'm not convinced that they can get out of it, unfortunately.
When it comes to staying up, you want someone who drag you over the line. If I asked a random listener to name Fulham's three strikers, I don't think there'd be a listener who could do it. And that's the reality of it. You know, who are these players who are going to get these goals when push comes to shove? And I don't really see it.
And it's been a shame, hasn't it, as well, because Alexander Mitrovic, who you would have thought would have been, you know, the main go-to man, he's had injury problems this season. He's not always been preferred by Scott Parker. They've obviously bought Josh Maguire in, who most people probably know from the Sunderland Till I Die documentary, because I didn't know him before that, I've got to be honest. He got a goal the other night. You know, maybe, but I don't see it personally. I think they're done and dusted. I really, really do.
Cool, we're nearly done. There's been some, as an Arsenal fan channel, they've gone West Ham to beat Spurs 2-1. So, yeah.
No, that's not a bad shout, is it? Given the
No. I'm not saying it is. No, not at all. But and the odds are with Spurs.
Ask Jasher for the chat.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, what's the gem, Jasha? That the game from which you can score double points. While we're doing that, DeLuca, you've highlighted Villa versus Leicester as your gem. Do you want to talk us through that? And then we'll come to Alavi after he's finished up.
Yeah, I have. So I'm going to give you some cutting-edge punditry here. I just don't like Leicester. I don't like Leicester, and I just think that's a good enough reason. I think Villa are good. I think they're scoring goals. I think Leicester had been, for a team who are second in the league and playing well, they've had a really inconsistent season. So they've lost six games already. They've got an away game midweek in Europe, which, whilst it's not the hardest opponent on paper, that still is going to take its toll, I think. And often you see weird results on a Sunday from teams in Europa League. So I'm factoring all those things in. I think Villa are a decent side and capable of a result, and I think they're going to get one.
I think your channel has gone. Sorry to interrupt. Your channel's gone Arsenal 0, City 3. So maybe it's not that biased after all.
Never biased here. Just good.
Cool. I've got them all.
Good football chat. Okay, you've got them all. Let's talk about your gem, which is West Ham.
I've gone Spurs to win by two clear goals against West Ham. Hopefully that's accepted. West Ham, big bookie's favourite. Obviously, in the chat, everyone's gone either West Ham to win or Spurs to nick a draw. Did you go Spurs to win?
Just about. Yeah, I couldn't bring myself to write a defeat.
But you can see why a bookie goes West Ham favourites at the moment.
Oh, we lose there regularly. And
yeah, and I just feel that West Ham's right and thing has to end. Their run has to end, so that's what I've
got. Remember with Spurs as well. This season, we've been dreadful all season. Forget the fact, even at the in November, where the Daily Mail wrote every day how Spurs are going to win the league, and I said to you guys, we're in a top four scrap. Don't get excited. But actually, when you look at it, we have not beaten a team in the top half at the time we played them since the second game of the season when we played Southampton. When we beat Arsenal, they were in dreadful form. When we beat Man City, they were in dreadful form. We beat Burnley, West Brom, shit teams, Sheffield United. We've not beaten a good side in form all season long. So the thought of going to West Ham and beating them is absolutely wild. But I think it might be one of them where I think Mourinho really, really needs a result. And I think he might just drag out a scrappy 1-0. And that's the only thinking behind that, if I'm honest.
What's your little gem, Harry? Have you got one?
I can't even remember what I predicted now.
I think the best one you could probably do is Wolves losing 2-0 at home to Leeds. That's quite a big shout, to be fair.
I think I'll go with that one. I'll go with that one just because I really enjoy Leeds' performances away from home. I like that they're brave. I like that they go for it. And I feel like Wolves are, I don't know, they're just, I know they won the other day, but they're just, they're not quite right this season, Wolves. And I feel like... things have gone just a little bit stale there under Nuno.
I think the one we can give the listeners is maybe Sheffield United to beat bottom of the table to get a win at Fulham 1-0. We can let them answer, but
yeah, I mean, the one that Jashar's gone for the Man United game, but the whole point of the gem, Jashar, is, and I should have explained this, it's my fault. This predictions league, I've completely made a balls up of it, right? So from next week, I'll have a nice graphic that explains the rules and I'll do it all properly. But basically, the gem is a game that you think you've made a big shout in, right? So a game where you've perhaps predicted something that isn't necessarily the favourite. I want you to go with that game as your gem because we're putting those as the ones that get double points.
But Bez has to be Sheffield United Fulham then based on that.
Yeah. Jashar, can you give us a thumbs up in the chat? I don't want the competition to be...
If you remember how the gem was created was when I said Everton wouldn't beat Fulham and there was gasps. And I said, that's my gem. And then Everton went and got battered at home.
Yeah, he did.
It's true.
And the gem was born.
We're just waiting for confirmation from Jashar that's okay. It doesn't have to be that one necessarily, but the Man U one, Man U are heavy favourites in that. Yeah. So
we can't
have that one. But if you've got anything else in mind, let us know. You've already got a bloody lead. We can't give you an excuse to get more bloody points ahead of us. But as I said, I promise next week I'll fix this up and I'll sort it out. So the rules are clear from the beginning. We'll have one person making the predictions. You guys in the chat can influence them. We'll streamline the process down and get this to something close to respectable because it's a bit of a fucking mess at the moment. But anyway, it's late at night. You'll have to excuse us. He's gone Brighton. What did they put for Brighton?
Yeah, that's not bad to be fair. They went with the Palace to win 2-0.
Yeah, go for that.
I can accept that. I mean, if you look at what we did, we all went for... Yeah, all right. Either Didier or did go Brighton, but yeah, fine.
Brilliant. Okay, I think that's the end of this edition of The Social Club. It's been emotional, it's been random, it's been full of bullshit. Don't forget, if you want to check out manscaped.com for all your male grooming needs, if you want your nether regions to look as fresh, as lush as the Emirates Stadium pitch, or as clean as Dan DeLuca's shave at the moment, look at him, he looks gorgeous, then head over to manscaped.com, use our discount code, which is 90min20, 90min20, and you will receive 20% off of your order as well as free shipping. And actually, do you know what? Wait there a second, right? I got some new products through the post from Manscaped today. I've got to show you guys these. It's incredible. One sec. Stay there.
I'm terrified. Absolutely terrified.
And he's back. And he's back. Right. So as you guys know, when I first started being sponsored by Manscaped, I went with the old Lawnmower 2.0. Incredible piece of equipment. Fantastic. And today I received, didn't even know it was coming, but I received a bunch of more goodies from Manscaped. And I've got to share these with you guys. And I'm just going to put myself on the screen so you can see them up close. So I got a skin safe replacement blade. Check that out. Replacement blade. That is how sophisticated the Lawnmower 2.0 is. They give you replacement blades. On top of that, I got some Crop Mop refreshing ball wipes. What more do you want? Ball wipes. If you can't be bothered to wash your balls, you get ball wipes. Perfect. And then the daddy, the Manscaped refined cologne, which is for, of course, guess what? Your balls. Just looking for the way to open it.
That's one way to find out if the anti-cut technology works.
Exactly.
If you stick that on your Niagaras and it hasn't worked, that's not going to be good.
There you go. Look at that refined cologne. Fantastic stuff. So yeah, brilliant stuff over at manscaped.com. Look, jokes aside, it's a great gift. It's a good laugh as well.
The wipes is a good idea, I think.
So head over to manscaped.com. Use our discount code 90min20. In doing that, you're supporting the podcast as well. You get 20% off and, of course, free shipping. That brings us to the end of this week's show. Look at this. In the comments, I thought he was taking his trousers off.
Yeah, so did I. I was getting quite worried.
Yeah, I bet you were. Robin says, Harry, you should become a seller. Yeah, we should maybe start on QVC instead of the Chronicles of Aguna. What do you reckon? That'd be a laugh. Right, that's it now. That's really it. No more ball products, none of that. We're done. And my thanks to Simon Alavi.
No worries.
And my thanks to Mr. Dan DeLuca.
Pleasure.
Namaste. Anyway, see you guys later. Cheers.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.